Life insurance. What's your excuse for putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think your work coverage is enough? There's a lot of excuses for putting off life insurance, but one big reason why you shouldn't. If the unexpected were to happen to you, who would pay the mortgage, the kids' tuition, and all the other bills? In a time of grief, the last thing you would want is for your family to have to sell the house and struggle to survive financially. At Ethos, we could get you covered in just 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Rates can increase the longer you wait, so no more excuses. Take 10 minutes today and discover the modern way to get the life insurance coverage you need. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as $1 a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethoslife.com/audio. That's ethoslife.com/audio.
Hi, everybody. Ryan Ballinger here. Welcome back. We are here for part two of our recap of our trip to Ireland. Brendan Sweeney's with me, my partner in crime on the trip, and Tiernan Byrne, who very graciously and gloriously hosted us with Club Choice Ireland on our journey. When we last left you, we had just finished halfway through the golf on our trip. We played six rounds and wrapped up at the European Club. So if you want to check out part one of our two-parter recap of the trip, you can do so over at golfnewsnet.com or on your favorite podcasting platform. You can find the show there or here on GNN Radio. But we're going to talk about the second half of the trip today. And I have a big smile on my face. I've been thinking about the recap here. Ross Lehrer was one of my favorite rounds of the trip for a variety of reasons. One, I absolutely love the golf course. Two, it's Tiernan's golf course. And three, we got to experience it a little bit different way, I think, than any of the other golf that we played. One, because it's Tiernan's place. Two, because we got to spend time with Mark, the links superintendent. And three, I felt like when you're just going to someone else's place, you experience golf through their eyes. You experience the place through how they see it. And I think the pride that you have, Tiernan, about your place and just the cool things you got to show off about it because you know the place intimately made it that much more special. And I will say, I mean, I bought some merch on the trip. I bought two things. I bought a bucket hat from Baltre and I bought a putter cover from Ross Lehrer, and for good reason. So, I mean, those were the things that stuck with me the most from the trip. So Tiernan, I don't want to kind of overstep my bounds and talk about your place more than you. Tell us about Ross Lehrer and it's an unbelievable place. And I think it's underappreciated for how good that it is.
It's a little bit of heaven down in the southeast corner of Ireland. It's not an ostentatious. I find anyway a kind of an old genuine Lynx appeal to it, in that it's a built 1905, so it's over 120 years old. It's out and in by the coast. Wind is a huge part of playing it. It's got some brilliant dunes. It's got some fantastic pop bunkers. It's got some great green complexes. And it's a traditional members golf club. And I'm always proud to bring people down and show it to them. This is where I play my golf every Wednesday morning, four ball. Because I'd like to get other people's feedback on it. I like to see what other people think about the golf course, that, you know, because you can be somewhat blinkered in playing your own course day in, day out. I'm lucky enough, I'm in the industry, so I get to see quite a lot of golf. And I think Ross Lehrer really does punch above its weight. And it's fun. I think it's got a nice atmosphere down there. And it's come under the, well, not the control, but it's Mark Doyle, who we met, is there now about 18 months, nearly 2 years. And I've said it to Mark, I think he's made a big impact on the place because he's got a kind of a fresh outlook. He's very positive about what he sees out there. And I think the place is a better for it. So I was just thrilled to be able to get you guys out there, because as it happened, that Sunday when you came in, or the Saturday you came in, Mark called me and said that they were going to take advantage of some weather patterns and they were going to do some course maintenance work, and he knew we were down to play, And in fairness to him, he went out of his way, called me and said, look, I want to make sure the guys get the experience of golf course, but yet I really do need to get out my guys out there and start overseeding. So Mark was good enough. He held back the last five holes for us. So we were able to get out and we played, I think, from 13 in. And then we went back out and I showed you a couple of holes on our 12 hole course as well. So, I mean, I think it's an all-rounder. It's in a little part of Ireland down in Wexford that's not on the traditional, let's say, golf routing that you might take around the country. And that's part of the reason I wanted to bring you down and show you. Look, it's my home county. Very proud of the place. Think it has a lot to offer. But I suppose the proof is in the pudding, you know, and I think you guys really did enjoy it.
I could not
have loved it more, Brendan. And I think you loved it just as much as I did.
As I'm watching, going through the pictures right here, it really was an unexpected, 4-star adventure. I mean, you're right on the water. We had an absolutely beautiful day. There's not a cloud in the sky. You know, the greens were so nice. The fairways were amazing. They were punching the greens, and that gave us a great opportunity to meet with the staff and Mark Doyle, your links supervisor. Who got his training over in the States at the Ohio State University, I may add. And it was really nice. It was, you could see the oldness of it all. And the clubhouse was wonderful. The staff was great. The fairways were just so undulating, and as well as the dunes up around the greens. So yeah, it's a hidden gem, I would say, on the Irish scorecard.
Yeah,
but it would be a small bucket lister that if you want to go to a place where the locals go and get away from the crowds, this is a tremendous place. And the price point was fabulous as well.
Yeah.
T, as you were saying to us as we were driving in, that a lot of people who live in Dublin City have like a vacation home or, you know, a second home, a holiday place out in that area, right by Ross Lair, and a couple of great hotels that are basically always at full capacity in the prime vacationing months. And yet still felt like this is a community golf course. Like you said, member club, people, you can join, you pay, you're part of it. And it still had cool beach access. I mean, we had a couple of different people, a couple of different interesting folks who wanted to go over the dunes through the golf course.
With no shirt on.
Or a little time on the beach, or you know, walk with their dog or whatever. It just felt like it. There's so many golf courses you play on trips like this that feel like they're under themselves and they're meant to be that way. And this felt like the total opposite, and in the best way possible.
Yeah, yeah, and it's part of even the whole area of that southeast corner of the country, in that it's. It's under the radar. You will not be overrun by tourists. It's not a tour, like particularly, I mean, when I say tourists, I'm thinking overseas tourists in particular. You know, they're it's not a hot spot, but yet that's probably the biggest attraction in it for me, in that when I do get my groups down there, they are the only groups down there. You know, there's them and the local members. And there's something nice about that, you know, and that's not just the golf, that's, you know, in Wexford town, if you're dining out, if you're going to, you know, if you're staying in one of the hotels, there's not going to be a lot of, you know, American voices around you. You will be the only American tour in town, and that will be a big thing to the town. And they'll make sure you're looked after. And, you know, if you go down to any of the tourist attractions, that'll be the same. And there's a lot to be kind of said for that as well, in terms of you feel like, well, this is nearly been put on for me in particular. It's kind of unique for us. We're seeing something that a lot of people at home ain't going to see.
Yeah.
And I think once the welcome is there and that fun factor is there, which Ross Lair has, I'm always proud to bring people down and show them around. And I think it's a really good golf course. And then if you can combine the extra 12 holes, like just some of the best golf are out there as well, you know, like that little par 3 we played, like that's,
oh my gosh,
that's a hole in heaven.
It's
that's
right,
a
the water.
Picture I've shown to more people than any other picture of the trip is that par 3 right on the point where I mean, it's a 120 yard hole, just a small kind of somewhat shrouded green right on the point. You're looking at water on three sides. It's mind-blowingly cool. I mean, and you wouldn't know that hole is there. And that's a star. That is an amazing golf hole.
That on top of the bunker complexes as well. Those were carved out of the dunes, and you know, mm-hmm. they're 105 years old. Absolutely amazing. Hey, an unexpected journey for you, Tiernan. When you have groups coming over from Europe, the harbor's 15 minutes away where the ferry boat comes in. You get a lot of play off that as well?
Yeah, Bren, you're right. Yeah, it plays a big part in our business, because we've got direct ferry access now to Britain, which is only 3 hours on the ferry, but now to France, Holland, and further up the coast. So we've got, I think there's like six ferry companies sailing in, and a big part of our business with our UK and European clients is, you know, the self-drive. So these people are getting on the ferry with their clubs, everything else they need in the boot, 2-3 guys, 4-5 cars, and they land into Rosslare Port. And, you know, they're staying in Wexford playing Rosslare, then they're heading up the coast maybe to play European and on to Dublin, kind of in reverse of what you boys did. And it's all only, you know, they're all only 40-50 minute stops along the way. And then they're back down, back onto the ferry and across the water.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. What a great experience Rosslare is. And if you guys get a chance to go to Ireland, I would definitely put that on the list to play.
And I imagine there are other places. Nothing's as similar as one to the next. And I will point that out. I think we've said that before. It felt like every golf course that we played was truly unique. I mean, there's not like, oh, that's basically the same course as X, Y, Z. They were all different. I mean, and I'm sure eventually you'd run into something that feels somewhat like something you've played otherwise in Ireland. But that was probably my favorite part about all of this. It was still two courses to talk about, but this being the end of the Lynx portion of it.
Yeah,
that every course felt genuinely different, and that you could create I mean, we played six rounds. That's a lot of golf for a lot of people. Six rounds of golf, and it didn't feel like one hole even was the same as the next. Every course had its own architecture, layout, atmosphere that was truly unique to itself. And I thought that was brilliant.
Well, if you look at the three Lynx courses that we played, starting up at County Louth and going to Port Marnock and then with Rosslare, all three were outstanding Lynx golf courses, but each one of them was uniquely different in a positive way.
Yeah, and you could have played them, I think also you could have played them in separate orders and felt very differently about each course in the position that you played them, which I thought was kind of interesting too, that we did a lineup of Lynx courses where you're just getting your mind blown left, right, and center. And you go, okay, well, I'm an American. I play a lot of parkland golf. And we had two parkland courses left. But you think, okay, well, I've seen that before. But at Mount Juliet and Druids Glen, we're going to talk about the next two places, they weren't like that. I mean, they were genuinely Irish in terms of being a parkland course. It wasn't just, all right, you know, I've played this place 15 times in the United States.
Yeah. Yeah, and That's part of our job as well in when we're putting that itinerary together for the group, depending on what they're looking for. But even if they want to play five Lynx golf courses or five parklands, or they're mixing it up, you know, you know you can give them something different at each place. You know they're going to get, and that might be more to do with the location. That might be to do with the people they're going to meet and the welcome they'll get, and that, you know, a members club versus a more commercial-minded resort. They're very different experiences. And then you've got the golf course as well, which, of course, is, as you guys say, you know, in fairness, it's every hole should be different in some shape or form. But I like to think that, you know, particularly those Lynx golf courses, because they're normally, they're not manufactured into the land. They're sort of made of the land, that they always offer something new, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, and a big shout out to the Clayton Whites Hotel. That was a fabulous place to stay. Top notch. Had an absolute wonderful time there. And if you want to make Wexford your home base, it's easy to do. You can play a dozen clubs within 35, 40 minutes of, of the downtown center. So it had a really cool nightlife too. It was, I loved it. And I thought it was one of the less, like, as you said, less trendy populated places of the Americans coming over, but I sort of liked being like the lone wolf out there. It was pretty neat.
You were, and again, well, I think it was it a Sunday, Monday maybe? So you kind of, were there like kind of in the really sleepy part of the week. But in fairness to the two of you, you rolled up your sleeves and you said, you know what, we've got to go out and explore this town. We are here to do our research for the better of the people of America.
And we almost made it on a ship the next morning.
I almost lost you to a trawler. A
fishing boat that was the biggest fishing boat I've ever seen in person.
Hey, but while speaking of boats, we did leave Ross Lair and we made our journey to New Hope, correct?
As a Hook Lighthouse.
We went to Dunbrody first. Went to the immigrant boat.
The Dunbrody famine ship. Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, and that's where the Kennedys are from, for God's sakes. So while we chat about that as a little side thing, okay, we get off the golf and part of the Club Choice Ireland experience that we've had was we tied in golf with a tour, golf with a theme, golf with food. So we leave the golf course, we grab a great lunch. The food was fabulous at the Dunbrody at the Immigrant Museum. We went on the tour of the boat, and this has a great American tie to it, that the immigrant flame is lit there for all the immigrants that left in the potato famine back in the 1800s. They came over to the States. But this was a general hub of leaving Ireland, the port of New Hope, and next, your first stop is Savannah, Georgia. So, Tiernan, why don't you tie in a little bit with your relationship with Savannah and tell us a little bit about the town of New Hope.
It's, you know what, I'm ashamed to say that it took a an Irish guy, but he's a professor in Georgia Southern University in Statesboro, just outside Savannah, to actually come over and educate me and a lot of Wexford people about this connection that Wexford in particular has to the Eastern Seaboard of the United States, and primarily the likes of Charleston and Jacksonville and Savannah, that sort of block, whereby back in the 1800s, ships used to leave the New Ross port in particular and sail across the sea. And it used to carry rock as ballast. And the ship owners figured out that they could charge people to come across because they wanted to get out of Ireland at the time, and they wanted to start a new life and head to the land of the free. And it started transporting people as cargo. And there is a huge proportion now of Savannians with Wexford heritage, with Irish ancestry. And this is something that we sort of, you know, have embraced. And the Dunbrody famine ship is a kind of a, you know, it's a mock ship, it's a replica. They do a really nice sort of interactive tour with you on the ship to show you the conditions of the people that they would have stayed on this boat as they made their way across the Atlantic. And Visit Savannah now have actually partnered up with the Dunbrody in that when you come off the ship, you are coming into Savannah port. So there's a nice Savannah landing, it's called, and it ties in really well, and it's part of an ongoing relationship between my region here in Wexford and Savannah. And it's a really nice, you know, it was a really, really well done tour and a reminder of how close but yet far away these two regions are in terms of like what these people had to go through to get to America, and then they built a life for themselves over there. The fact that both sides are very proud of that.
It's amazing that the reenactment, the actors and actresses that were on there were like true to form, and they interacted with the folks very well. But the conditions of the people that went over there, you know, with a minimum of a 50-day journey from Ireland to the States during that time, and just the conditions that they were in, just surviving the trip was one thing. But I thought it was a great tie-in And then you finish up with the Irish Hall of Fame, Irish American Hall of Fame, that's there as well. That was great. And yeah. I thought it was a really cool way to tie in the States with the Irish connection there, and to see what the people went through to get there. I mean, there's a really cool interactive movie that starts it off about how the people made it to just to make it to the harbor. I mean, they're, you know, walking for days, you know, and by the time they get to the boat, and then they almost come off to be indentured servants when they get to the States, and they carved out a life for themselves. Yes. Well said.
Yeah. I think we as Americans kind of, we take advantage of the fact that we're a country of immigrants and just kind of assume, because we have on our sides landmarks of the Statue of Liberty. And, you know, we think about how everyone just wanted to come here, but I don't think appreciate how difficult of a choice that was for people or how hard it was to do in the first place. And being on the famine ship really made you appreciate the guts that it, or maybe desperation or both, that it took to leave from Ireland or wherever you wanted to come from, to come to America and to come to America in search of something different or better.
Yeah. And it's pretty cool. They have the immigrant flame there, which they started, and it's been going since 2013. And the flame was actually came from John F. Kennedy's gravesite at Arlington Cemetery. So it's pretty special, and I'm sure not a lot of people see it. And if you have a chance, go check it out. It's pretty special.
Yeah, for sure.
It's so Ryan, I was just gonna say, it is literally about 25 minutes from Wexford Town. And what's great about New Ross is then, because it sort of opens up, you can head down to Waterford, down to the Waterford Crystal Visitor Center if you wanted to. The JFK, John F. Kennedy's homestead, is only 15 minutes from there as well. We took a sharp turn left. Brendan took a sharp turn left after the Dombrody, and we headed out to Hook Lighthouse, which is one of my favorite places of all time.
It's so cool. I mean, you kind of drive down the coast and you're like, all right, where are we going? And we know what we're getting into, sort of, but I don't think even the drive I really appreciated, just kind of going down basically a strip of land, farmland left, farmland right, hotel being built actually along the way. And then you get to the point, right? I mean, that's why lighthouses are there. And you realize the history there is getting on 850 years worth of history at Hook Lighthouse. A lighthouse has been there since the 1200s. And I mean, it's just it's a daunting structure to get to see it and then go climb it. It's such a great tour guide to get the history behind
Noel.
All of it.
Noel was our tour guide.
Yeah, Noel's the best.
He was so cool. I mean, just fun facts galore, quick wit, very funny. But again, I mean, even if you just saw the lighthouse and the views alone without the history component of it, that would have been mind-blowing enough. Just to sit on the point and be able to feel the wind, obviously not my hair, but feel the wind, see the views, just watch the waves kind of crash on the rocks a little bit. I mean, that was just the perfect, like, hour unto itself of, all right, take a little break from golf and life and just watch the world go by.
Yeah, I particularly thought it was amazing. You know, there's 78 lighthouses in Ireland. My grandpa worked on a lighthouse up in Ironmore. And just the stories that I heard about how it tended to. But the amazing fact of this lighthouse, it was built. It's the oldest running lighthouse in the world. Continuous running lighthouse. You know, the history of William Marshall and how that came about and how they actually built this whole thing. And the key role that the New Hope Point took in actually carving out history. The way that the wars come together, the way that the rivers of Ireland from the south come together, everything starts pretty much at that point. And without that lighthouse and with the rock structures, I mean, that navigated people through the times, through centuries, not only through commerce, but through the military, through the exporting of goods. It was really amazing how he tied in a great tour within an hour with humor and interactive with people coming together. There were, what, three different couples from the States that were there. So we all started chit-chatting with them. Actually, Noel's son was out in the harbor fishing. So he called him up on the phone and everybody started waving to him, which was pretty neat. And Tiernan, your family tends to go there often as a place of gathering and reflection, but it's such a cool place to go to that generations have gone there for centuries just to sort of chill out. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, you've just come from this replica famine ship, which is of the 1800s, say, and that's old. And then, you know, 20 minutes down the road, you're in this operational lighthouse, this structure that has been there doing this same job in general, the same purposeful job since the 1200s. You know, so we've got some pretty old shit here, and we're proud of it. And we like to show it off. And again, Hook I think it's just a must see place. If you can get yourself down into the southeast of Ireland, go see it. It'll knock your socks off. The windier, the better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the views from up top are just tremendous. If you're a history nerd or even etymology nerd, I mean, we learned so many originations of phrases and turns of phrase and sayings that we use all the time in the English language. And so much of it is attributed to what happened either in Hook, around Hook, by hook or by crook. And we'll talk about Kilkenny later. I mean, it's, again, more stuff that you can understand why
a Faroist
use certain words and phrases. I mean, to me, that I had so much fun doing that. I could have done just that and had a great time.
Awesome.
We go play Mount Juliet, right? So we're going to the Mount Juliet. We're kind of making our way back toward Dublin. And Mount Juliet is a Jack Nicklaus design on this incredible estate. The Mount Juliet Resort Hotel is a, what, 4.5, 5-star place. I mean, just gorgeous, wonderful, amazing. And so Brendan and I got to have, Brendan got the wonderful experience of learning to drive on the left side of the road. And while we feared for our life a few times, we did wind up living, which is good news. And we got there and we just had a really nice kind of like quiet morning at Mount Juliet. It's a place that's hosted World Golf Championships events, hosted the Irish Open recently. I mean, it's a place that is held in high esteem in Irish golf. And one of the cool things before we even got to the golf course was with their connection to Paul McGinley. And in the locker room, they had, I don't know if they were exact versions, but they were pretty darn close probably to the exact versions of posters that were in the team locker rooms from the Ryder Cup when he was captain. And that was kind of a cool little window into what it might have felt like to represent Europe and how they've kind of been using messaging over the last, you know, 15, 20 years, kind of leaning into their history of the Ryder Cup to motivate their players. I thought that was a really cool touch.
Yeah, I think the wonderfulness of the property, you know, the hotel at Mount Juliet is 5 stars. It's absolutely amazing. Then you go on the grounds, you play the golf course. One thing I found sort of fascinating on the golf course and all the water holes, they had life preservers just in case. And then we wrap up our round and we go over to the Academy, which is a Callaway fitting center with the, got it. Top tracer technology right there. And they had, you know, putting sessions going on. And that really is there. I think in Ireland, I think there's 3 of them. And that happens to be 1. So it's a top-notch facility for the Academy, and the staff was just killer. The locker room facilities were amazing. The food was fantastic. Mount Juliet is really, you know, I think it would be really good if you have a buddy trip going, but if you want to take your wife, your family, your kids, this is a must-stop for that, for like a multi-generational golf trip to make Mount Juliet sort of like your home base, and then you can sort of branch out from there. But you could do a lot of things there. It was really nice. And the manor was just absolutely stunning, beautiful, opulent. The landscaping, the foliage, the flowers, Everything was put together. It was really dynamite. So I'm glad we went there. I'm glad we played there. I'm glad we got the experience there. As being an American, we know Jack Nicklaus designs, and it was one of Jack's best designed places I've ever been to. And I was really proud to be there.
Glad you enjoyed Mount Juliet, guys, because it holds a special place in my memory because I would have attended my first Irish Opens there back in the early 90s when they did three in a row at Mount Juliet. And that's when it was kind of put on the golfing scene in Ireland. It was the first Jack Nicklaus design course here. And then it went on the only golf course in the country to host WGC events, where Tiger won and Ernie won. And now it's now been, I suppose, given a second lease of life in the last 10 years with some new owners. They built the Hunter's Yard Hotel, new clubhouse, invested in the golf course in terms of maintenance and tweaking it to where they needed to. And then the manor house there, as you said, Brent, is on site, which is another option when it comes to your five-star luxury golf getaway, primarily for the couples. It's got the Lady Helen restaurant there, Michelin star restaurant. And just like you say, a lot of our buddy trips will probably play Mount Juliet and head in and stay in Kilkenny City like you guys did. But more of our couples-based retreats or trips, they're actually basing themselves there. They're staying on site in the manor house and they're playing Mount Juliet, using the academy, dining in the Lady Helen, and making a real like kind of signature part of their tour out of that Mount Juliet experience. Matt and the guys there do a really great job looking after our people, and place I always like driving into. I always know I'm in for an enjoyable day when I drive up the avenue to Mount Juliet.
I tell you what, driving up the avenue to Mount Juliet was probably the best part of my drive.
Because there was no cars coming the other way.
I'm not worried about the cars. I'm worried about the cement trucks. It's all good.
For all of the terror that you probably experienced, Brendan, as driving the back roads truly for the first time, really, like by yourself, the drive was really cool. I mean, it was
very awesome. Different.
It was very different than what we had experienced just recently, being right along the coast, water everywhere you look. And this, I mean, there was water. There were beautiful streams, as bucolic as it could be, going through a couple of different really small towns on our way up. It was a different look of Ireland that we hadn't experienced at that point.
Yeah, you do. If you, the drive actually from, I always, you can go, there's a new motorway now that sat-nav will actually sometimes send people, because it's probably technically quicker to get to Mount Juliet from Wexford going that way. But I go the old school way, which is the way you guys went, and you drive through little towns like Inishtieg and Thomastown, and it's a stunning drive. Now, it's a tight drive, and trucks like to use that road. So I understand where you're coming from, Brendan. Just give them plenty of space. The roads are big enough for everyone, Brendan.
Hey, so just a side note, when I did drop off the rental car, and the guy walked around the outside of the car, he goes, "Oh, there seems to be a scratch up here in the front." And I walked out. I'm like, "Oh, that's it."
So, pretty good.
That was it. So who knows? All right. So we leave Mount Juliet. We had a great, fabulous time there. And we go to meet. We're in Kilkenny. We go check in to the Hotel Kilkenny, which was great.
It was awesome.
Beautiful place. But we have to meet this guy. We got to meet this guy, Nevin Cody, at the Kilkenny Castle. So we go down to the Kilkenny Castle. We take a cab down there. Had a wonderful cab driver, man. He was great. I mentioned something about the roads. I said, "This is a nightmare." He goes, "You want to hear about a nightmare? You should meet my wife." And so he dropped us off at the castle. We meet Nevin, and we took it over from there. And Shenanigans Tour Group, if you want to have the ultimate knee knocker laugh, enjoy hysterical, historical walking tour of Kilkenny, this guy's five-star aces, man. This was one of the highlights of my trip. And just watching him interact with you, Ryan, was an experience, and it was a gut buster.
He's so funny. I mean, and very intelligent. I mean, I can't tell you how hard it is to put together like a 10-minute presentation that's funny, and informational and keeps your attention. And we had a multi-hour walking tour where I couldn't look away and not pay attention because I felt like I was going to miss something. I was going to lose something. And that's in a town where there's so many different places to look. And for him to have put it into the context that he did to explain its different places' role in history, how it's evolved over time, how it ties into our language, how it ties into our shared history, the battles won and lost, the places started and fallen. It was really, really cool. I mean, completely unexpected. I did not know what we were getting into. And I'm so glad that we did it because it felt like it would have been incomplete to have not done it.
Go for it. I would say that the town of Kilkenny is just absolutely spectacular. It is just nothing that I would have expected, but everything that I would expect of ancient Ireland. And the way that Nevin took us through it, the historical aspects of the town, going to the monasteries, going to the churches, going to where Smittix has her brewery, showing that, telling the stories about how each generation evolved and how the town, how the rivers, how the Kilkenny Castle was a center point, and how it circled out. And now there's another castle in town, and how they tied it together through over the years, and how Kilkenny was a centerpiece of commerce through the river system of Ireland. And it was really special. I would say if you're going to go to Ireland, you need to see Kilkenny number one. But you need to see shenanigans. I mean, this guy is just off the charts, dressed up to the nines, and he's a magician. And he ties in stories with the magic, and he ties in poetry, and it's just absolutely fabulous. I could not give more than two thumbs up to Nevin and his crew. Thank you, Tiernan, for putting that together. That was one of the bright spots of my journey to Ireland.
Yeah, he's a gentleman. Most importantly,
couldn't have been a nicer man either.
Yeah, I think when we did a preview of your trip a couple of months ago, Ryan, you asked me like, what are things maybe that people take away that they don't expect to really enjoy, you know, in terms of a golf trip to Ireland, and I kind of said, well, some of the people we use are you know, they're just extraordinary, and Nevin's one of them. He'll just. Whatever about him, his tour being unique, and him being unique, he'll also go out of his way to make sure that our groups are looked after. And that could be, meeting them half an hour before they're meant to make sure that they get to where they want to go, or bringing them an extra, 20 minutes down the road back to their hotel, or finding them lunch somewhere. And that's not the kind of thing where people who are just clocking in and clocking off and doing it for a job. You know, he's so invested. He's passionate about it. He loves the city. You would have got that vibe from him. And he's kind of like the little icing on the cake of Kilkenny as far as we're concerned when we have any groups go through it. I couldn't recommend him mightily enough.
And the town of Kilkenny was so cool after that. I mean, just to have the context a little bit of everything that's happened there over thousands of years. But in the present day, it's just a great night out. I mean, good food, great bars. We sat in a bar and guy was having a one-man band show with a little bit of soundtrack in the background playing just American hits, us and Irish just singing at the top of our lungs. Just a great place to bar hop all night. I mean, we could have probably hit 20 bars and it would have been wonderful. And I think we hit like three or four in the end and then walked our way back to Hotel Kilkenny, which, I mean, it's a little bit outside of town, but like a 15-minute walk, totally doable. No issues getting back and forth. We had such a good time. I mean, I know that that's kind of a popular place, I think, inside the country for people to go and take a weekend. Mm. And I think it should be more popular with Americans as a dropping off point for some of their journeys over as well.
Yeah, I would say that those couple days right there, packed into the middle, Mount Juliet, Wexford, everything was just great. But the top off Kilkenny was just amazing. I loved it. I thought, you know, I'm definitely, when I go back to Ireland, I'm definitely going back there.
Yeah, that's definitely need another day and a half in there just to feel like I got the place a little bit better than I did. But well, the day that we had was awesome.
Well, then we wrap up with, hey, let's go grab a nightcap at the bar in the hotel. And this guy's playing a guitar, and there's two busloads of ladies well into their 70s.
Oh, my
this
God.
This guy's playing Billy Ray Cyrus, and they're, like, doing the Achy Breaky Heart. I'm like, holy cow, here we go. So it was awesome. It was awesome.
That community feel of it, too, was really cool. Like, I know we were at, like, kind of, like, taking it back. Like, what's going on here? Why is Billy Ray Cyrus being played? But it just got a cool to, I don't know, just feel like you're experiencing a place as the people who live there experience it, as opposed to just being a tourist through it.
Yeah.
And I think that goes a long way in any journey, but especially went a long way in Kilkenny.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, you know, we this had to be a little bit of a whistle stop for you guys. You know, I wanted to show you enough without overdoing it, and at the same time, you know, something to pop in. Oh, I know they love this, right? Got to get them there. So we, you know, you do need an extra day. You need 2 days there, particularly if you're playing golf for a day. We wouldn't necessarily route a tour the way you guys are going to experience it, but to be so close to it, not to go up and have seen Mount Juliet, you know, seen the city, met Nevin, I think would have been an opportunity missed. So I'm delighted you got to experience it now.
And I know some people like to do trips where they just kind of like to be based out of somewhere. Whether it's Juliet or in Dublin City somewhere or Druids Glen, which we'll talk about in a little bit. I'm very grateful that we hopped around. I feel like if you want to get to know a place, you go get to know a place. You don't get to know one place in that place. And that going from Malahide, and we got some time in Dublin, got Wexford, Kilkenny's great. I mean, just, and we had four or five other towns that we spent, you know, anywhere from 2 to 5 hours in, which were wonderful. I mean, that's how I would rather experience a place. It'd be dead tired at the end of it, but at least know I did it right. At least the one I think is doing it right.
I agree.
Yeah.
Even if we risked life and limb to drive there a couple of times. Which is actually part of the thrill of it, right? I mean, shared
better
trauma
man for
usually
it,
brings people closer together.
We were driving a Subaru Pinata.
All right, last place we played, which is was Druids Glen, which kind of been built as and has kind of been built up as the Augusta of Ireland. In terms of conditioning, it absolutely was. But this is our second experience with Pat Reddy. We didn't spend an hour talking to him this time, but we got to experience a place he originally built and was redone the last year or so. We opened the last year or so, and they took out, I think the number was 68 bunkers they wound up taking out to maybe open the place up a little bit, redid a couple of holes. But, I mean, we knew right away that what we were playing was an incredibly well-manicured place, for one, but two, also some really cool architecture that I don't know what I was counting on, but this wasn't it.
I tell you what, from the time you drive into the gate to the time you hit the tee box, we had an awesome interview with Marcus Doyle, who's the director of golf there.
Yeah.
And he was telling us, he goes, look, man, this place is amazing. It's sort of like being in the Premier League of soccer that he's the coach of, and he can't go down anymore. It was a five-star event. And we keep saying, it's like, hey, we've been to this great place in Ireland. We've been there, and they keep getting better, but they're all fabulous. To top off our golfing adventure at a Parkland course, a Pat Ruddy Parkland course that has been, you know, nicknamed the Augusta of Ireland, was pretty darn close to being what it's all built up to. The undulations, the elevation changes, the trees, they all cut up all the trees 6 feet. You know, there's no branches underneath, so you can see the golf course. You can see how it lays out. The flowers were in full bloom. We are on day 7 of just absolutely amazing weather. It was 75 degrees, not a cloud in the sky again. And then we roll up to this golf course, and it's like, holy smokes, this is cool. First hole, winding down. Second hole, big slider coming around the right. And what Marcus was telling us, he goes, it keeps on getting better. It keeps on getting better. We get up to the seventh hole, the eighth hole. Ninth hole, huge bridge going over, big ridge coming down. And then Tiernan catches up to us. And then it got really fun. So take it away.
12 and 13 were just super awesome. I mean, they were very Augusta-esque. I mean, 8, 12, where you're like, okay, this really feels like you've been transported to the Irish version of this. I got the message at that point.
The landscaping.
Yeah.
The bushes, the druids, the water, the streams rushing through, the waterfalls, the history of hosting Irish Opens. This place is like the hotel. My gosh, it was fabulous. I'm looking at, you know, the par three. It looks like Augusta National. Tiernan, yeah. You drilled one, you know, inches away from the hole. This is another where I'm coming back to this place.
Yeah, and we wrapped up with some really, I mean, the 17 was we were terrible on it, but it was a really cool Island Green par three. I think we donated 15 balls into the water between us, but that's okay. It was awesome. And it was a different landscape. Again, different Mount Juliet rolling hills feels like a farm. This did not feel like it was a former farm, even though it probably was, but it feels like, because you see views of mountains, you're kind of into the higher landscapes or higher elevations a little bit, because that's where we go next to Powers Court. And it, again, just felt like you were in a different place than the other five that we've been. And I cannot underscore enough how much I like that.
Yeah. No, they've really, when they closed the Glen course for, I think it was 18 months, for, you know, it was a kind of a redevelopment is probably not the right term for it, like a refurb or redo. And, you know, I just didn't know what that was going to be like, you know. And then I remember we went down, Marcus invited us down to play it before it opened, and absolutely blew me away. I didn't think, when they only maybe changed, you know, structurally maybe a couple of holes, but all the other changes they made have all added up to a wow experience. And yeah. Like the par threes in particular, I think really do just speak from, they knock your socks off. They are bangers, every one of them. Yeah. And then, you know, you're in that beautiful setting, Garden of Ireland, the Wicklow. You're only 25 minutes to the city, but yet at the same time, you are completely in this, you know, oasis underneath the Sugarloaf Mountain, and just down from Powers Court. And it's just a gorgeous resort. As you mentioned earlier, people in terms of basing themselves, it is a great base because you've got probably 40 golf courses within 40 minutes of you there. And it's a hell of a hotel as well. Really, really nice place to stay.
The views around the place are just absolutely amazing. And once again, we couldn't ask for better weather. So the staff was amazing. The food was spectacular. Service, Marcus and his team took, you know, did above and beyond. I left my clubs there. They sent them back, shipsticks. The hotel was just really a wonderful experience. We had a great meal. And a great night's sleep. So that's all we could ask.
Yeah. I do want to give a shout out to the group of ladies that were over from Britain for the weekend.
Oh yeah.
I've met a new demographic of people that are hilarious and fun, which are 40 to 50 year old British women away for a weekend. Cause my wife and I went to the Solheim Cup a few weeks later in Spain. Same groups out in full force. They were absolutely so much fun to hang out with. So that was kind of an unexpected fun part of the trip too. And I think that speaks to a little bit of how the game is growing too. I think that's cool that exists, because at least in my lifetime, I didn't know that kind of thing existed. And now that it's becoming more and more popular, hopefully it becomes more and more popular among American women too. Cause it's, it was cool to just kind of see them have a great time, watch someone else have fun in a different way than we were.
So, amen.
We rounded out our journey in that area. We had a night there, but before we did that, we went over to Powers Court, which is unto itself an incredible place.
With two golf courses.
Two great golf courses. I mean, talk about the drive into Mount Juliet. The drive into Powers Court was, you saw Sugarloaf Mountain and just an incredible entryway. And we got a personal tour of Powers Court Distillery, which is, was really, really cool. And I did not know how alive and well independent distilleries were in the Republic of Ireland. And Powers Court's one of the newer ones, but the stuff that they're making and have been making was really, really cool to get to see it all, hear about it, hear about how it came into being and where it's going. And I mean, as an entrepreneur, I care about that stuff a lot, but as someone who likes just good food and drink, that was a great time.
Well, Jared Gentry is our host and the owner of the Powers Court Distillery. I tell you what, he's a local guy. He grew up right behind the property right there. And for him to have the vision and have the fortitude to follow through with his dream, you know, they took us on this tour and they took us to the barreling house. And I was thinking, look, I go, wow, there's all these barrels of whiskey in here. He goes, yeah, there's 3,500 of them. So they're aging. You can buy private barrels. And granted, we got there after golf. He waited for us and then he gave us a private tasting. And the whiskey was off the charts. It was really special and really looking forward to following the Powers Court crew and what their products will do in the future, because it's so new and they're just emerging. To see them come on down the road and look what they can do and what we could do to help them out. But it really was a sharp tour, and it's a 24/7 operation. They're making booze all the time and they're really doing a crackerjack job of doing it too. But the facility that they have this boardroom where we did our tasting. They have their corporate clients come in and they use it for retreats and whatnot. And it's tied to the resort, to the Powers Court Castle right there. That's another home base for you right there. There's a lot of little center points, you know, like hub and spoke places you could go on the trips that you took us to, Tiernan, that you could really make different home bases of all these facilities and utilize not only the golf, but the surrounding areas and the surrounding tours to really wrap up your group visit to Ireland.
It's, I'd say I've been on a few, and I think that's probably the best whiskey tasting experience I've ever had, in that they combined the artisan food with the four different types of whiskeys. And Jerry, like, in fairness to him, you couldn't have got a more personalized tasting than this, than the four of us sitting in the tasting room overlooking, was it Shane, was the guy who was keeping an eye on the pots, and you know, with every whiskey there was a little bit of something fresh there for us to eat. I thought that was extra special.
Cullen Falls, for Cullen Falls whiskey,
for Cullen, it was very tasty, very tasty. And of course, it got tastier the higher up the brand, the higher up the labels you went.
That's of course, right. It did.
The more whiskey we had.
Eventually, which, I mean, that was so good. I mean, all of it was excellent, but it was cool for them to get an understanding of what they're now aging on their own and what they're super excited about, because it's 100% their own. And I mean, that's kind of part of getting into the whiskey business of, you got to wait a few years to be able to age your own stuff.
Yeah.
So you've got blends and kind of purchase some things to kind of start your label, and then you build your reputation. And then all of a sudden, 3 years in, you go, okay, now it's all us. Now it's all, there's nothing to help or hurt us. If it, you know, outside influence, it's just ourselves. And they're there now, which was really cool. And also I really liked, again, tying it back to history, a little film ahead of time to kind of understand how important this Powers Court property is in terms of how it changed hands and, marriage into and marriage out of, and wars, and just, I mean, stuff that I think kind of gets undersold, frankly, about a bunch of the properties that we went to, from Powers Court to Port Marnock links, which is now Jameson Golf links. All these places, I mean, Mount Juliet, all these places that were incredible estates and properties and were significant throughout history for various reasons. And you go, well, can you tell me a little bit more about that? There's like 1,000 years of history that we could talk about here. And I'm glad they leaned into it a little bit at PowerScore.
Yeah. And just to cap that one, like on that point, right. And I think what we take for granted in Ireland here is that you can go to all of them. You can play at all those golf courses. You can visit all those estates. You can, they're all open to the public. You got to pay for it. And some you got to pay more than others. But there's none of them that have, that are fenced off and are private. And you know, everywhere you saw on this trip, you as a visitor to Ireland are welcome to come and see it and play it. And I think that's something that we don't blow our own trumpet about enough here.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that goes to the whole hospitality thing and just the view about golf too, but the view about welcoming people to Ireland, wherever you're coming from. But the hospitality is unbelievable, and it never feels like, even if you're having an incredible experience that's 5 stars, it doesn't feel like there's, you know, thumbs up on noses and hoity-toity. It just never felt that way, even though the golf and accommodations were incredible.
Agree.
So then we make our way up. Our last stop is the Irish Open, which was a nice opportunity to see people who knew what they were doing playing golf, playing golf.
The Horizon Irish Open, we should say.
That's right, the Horizon Irish Open.
At
the K Club, which is a former Ryder Cup host site. K Club's kind of changed ownership hands in recent memory, and this was a big opportunity for the K Club to show off. And I thought it was brilliant. I've never covered a European, a solely European tour, DP World Tour event before. And I thought it was very well done. The support was incredible. The Irish golf fans were incredible, not just for Rory McIlroy or, you know, any Irish golfer, but it was awesome to just kind of see the crowds. And that was on a Thursday. And the Fouch Ireland folks said they would be sold out throughout the entire weekend. So it was great to watch just the support and the golf. I mean, and I didn't really remember K Club from that Ryder Cup, but I mean, Arnold Palmer's done some of his best work in Ireland over the course of his life between there and Tralee and some others. But
old head. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to experience Arnold Palmer's best designs, you have to come to Ireland to do it, apparently, because that was fantastic.
Well, I want to give a big shout out to the folks at Discover Ireland as well. We met with Martin and his team and had a great interview with him. But seeing the course itself and seeing the property and Tiernan, thanks for pulling a couple strings and getting us some really key clubhouse passes with the owner's suite. So a nice, fantastic lunch of braised ribs and about a half a dozen Heinekens. We were in a rock and roll. So just meeting your, not only another bonus, seeing your dad again, which was wonderful. Larry was the bomb. He brought one of his buddies up and we walked and talked and seeing some old folks from the States, you know, running into Billy Herschel and Rich Beam. That was unexpected. They're like, what the hell are you doing here? I'm like, oh my God, I'm asking myself the same questions. But it really was, what a great track. And then coming home and watching it on TV, I'm like, holy cow, we were just there. The people were fabulous. The golf course was amazing. The facilities were great. The landing center where the folks walk in as a hospitality welcome to the Irish Open. It was a carnival type atmosphere. The clubhouse. I'm just looking through some photos here of just the grounds, and it was in top notch shape. And the folks at Discover Ireland, the folks at the K Club really put on a top-notch Irish Open. And this is what sort of brought us together years ago about trying to cover the Irish Open, and actually going to it was just top-notch. And we can't thank you enough for that. Just a great experience. And to have Ryan actually get in the scrum with the reporters, talking with Rory and Shane and almost watching Tyrrell Hatton blow a stack on the 16th hole. We were doing the over-under on that. That was just even better than almost anything, because he dunked one in the water. He's going back and forth, and it's only day one for him. So, yeah, it was cool. It was neat, and thank you for that experience.
Yeah, it's An Irish Open anywhere is pretty cool. And wherever it happens to be in the island, I try and get there. We've been very lucky and fortunate. The last 3 years, we've had the Irish Open in my backyard in this Ireland's ancient East region. And the K Club is going to host it now for three of the next 5 years as well. You know, it's a course that's built for us. You know, it's built for hosting big events, Ryder Cups, European Opens, Irish Opens. It does it really well. It really does. It's got great access in and out. It's got a fantastic piece of property in terms of moving people around it. And it's a really good golf course. And they have a second course there, the South Course, which is utilized. Like I was telling you that day, the members were over playing that golf course while the Irish Open was sitting on its sister property next door. So yeah, it's a hell of a place. And it's only a hop, skip and a jump to Dublin as well. So it's on the, we'll put it on your to playlist for the your repeat visit, your return visit.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the hospitality couldn't have been better. I mean, it was cool to see the ownership of K Club just so proud and excited to have this opportunity to showcase the place. And it was fully embraced, which was great. I mean, I'm sure it is every year, but to get to experience that kind of energy at a golf tournament is different and really cool. I mean, it's a national championship at the end of the day. It's a U.S. Open equivalent in terms of pride and importance. So that was really, really cool to see from a different perspective. And the Irish Open, when it was the Nissan Irish Open, 20 years ago, I was going to go there after I finished undergrad. And I was just starting my podcast and website, and I was going to go cover it. And I didn't wind up getting my act together to do it. And to be able to come back and make that my first DP World Tour event, true DP World Tour event, was also pretty cool to come full circle.
And a nice way to cap off the week, I think.
Yeah. And then getting in and out of Dublin Airport is great. I mean, we talked about coming in, obviously, but getting out it's one of, what, two airports where you get to do the whole U.S. customs procedure in that airport on foreign soil. So by the time you walk in or fly into your American destination, you're done. You're good to go. You don't have to do the hour and a half line at your pick your American international airport, which is super convenient. And yeah, again, it's, you're flying into the wind this time, but it's a pretty short flight, all things considered, for the journey that you're making. So it was easy for me to get out of Dublin Airport back into the DC area. And I'm sure pretty similar for you, Brendan, who you had an extra day in Dublin City.
Yeah. I extended my journey one more day just so I get a little R&R before coming home. Stayed downtown on the river at the Hilton right there, and just sort of walked around, caught the first rugby match of the World Cup right in downtown Dublin. Walked around Temple Bar, which was really cool. It was jamming. People were going, you know, having a great time. That place gets lit up about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it was great. I went shopping for the family, bought a bunch of, you know, knickknacks and whatnot. And in spending time in Dublin, I've been there probably about four or five times. It was sort of neat. I was sort of just decompressing before I got home. Next morning, got up, dropped off the car, and we're ready to rock and roll. So it was great. Actually, I dropped the car off on Friday with you. And that was a fun part of being about Hertz. The guy walks around, just a little scratch in the front. I'm like, oh, that's all. So it was good. It was great. I would say that, as a recap, how many different counties we were in? Louth, Meath, Wicklow, Kildare, Kilkenny, Wexford. That's Dublin. A pretty good chunk. Yeah, Dublin. Flanche Golf Ireland.
I kept you on your toes, Brendan.
And it knocked me on my ass a few times too. So it was great. I can't thank you enough. What an experience of a lifetime. And we look forward to hopefully doing it again with you. And we got to do a recap on this thing. We got to put a nice shiny green bow on top of this and figure out how we're going to cap the next one.
And hopefully someday we can return the favor and we can have you come over here, and we'll wear you out over here instead. We'll play some golf, drink some beer, eat some food. We don't have stuff quite as old as you have it, but we can show you some cool stuff.
Look, lads, it's been my pleasure. It's been a long time coming, and we've all put a bit of work into this, and I'm just delighted that the weather played its part. Okay,
oh my.
we had like about 30 minutes of rain, just to get you wet enough, and then Ryan got to wear his same pair of shorts for 6 days in a row. So weather played a big part. But I'm just thrilled to get your reactions from course to course, town to town, pub to pub, people to person. You know, just I know it works. But the more people that we can show it to, the better. So thanks for coming. And I look forward to seeing you stateside next March and then back in Ireland someday soon, hopefully. But we want to get you here before Adair 2027.
Oh, amen. Amen.
That's going to be amazing too.
Tiernan, if you could just do a quick little rundown on really what Club Choice Ireland is all about. I mean, we've had the experience of really experiencing everything from the time you land to the time you leave, doing everything in between. But yet we're a two-man band. So when I have a group of guys coming over from the States, let's say the ideal group would be a private golf course in Chicago or whatnot, who wants to plan a couple's trip to go to Ireland, but they don't want to do like all the, you know, the big meaty things. They don't want to be traveling all the time. They want to have a really condensed stay with a hub and spoke type place to go. That's your wheelhouse. You cater towards the group of people that really want to have a good time. And tell us how Club Choice Ireland could get us through this all.
Yeah. Pretty simple, Brad. I mean, most people are actually finding us through repeats or referrals. So it's word of mouth that gets us most of our business. And I like to think that means we're doing something right. It starts with a phone call or a DM or an email. And then I'd personally take it from there. So every itinerary is built from scratch. It's built for the clients, whether that's a group of guys traveling, whether it's a club couples event, whether it's two guys who want to go drive a car on small roads, we'll do it all. So I start from scratch. We bring them on their tour of a lifetime. And by and large, send them home happy. Do it all again. It's a nice way to make a living. Showing people around a part of Ireland that I'm pretty passionate about and proud of. We've got some great golf. We've got some, as you say, fantastic history, but we've got some super people. So you're more than welcome to come and see it.
And people can find you at clubchoiceireland.com as. Brendan reiterating a lot of our video footage, which I want to put the super cut together of that, but
yeah, ringtone.
I know Brendan already said it, but I can't thank you enough for what you did for us, taking us around, showing us an incredible journey. And yeah, you didn't necessarily know us, but you kind of nailed exactly who we are and what we wanted from a golf journey and an Irish journey, not just a golf journey. And depending on what your perspective is, whether you want to travel around and get worn out, whether you want to stay in one place and you have a small group, big group, whatever your goal is, you nailed it. You keep nailing it. And I think people will be extremely happy to go on a tour of Ireland's ancient East with you.
Thanks, guys.
The new year is all about new beginnings and fresh starts. Make this the year you resolve to treat every inch of your skin to silky smooth hydration with Osea's best-selling Undaria Algae Body Butter. Rich but never greasy, this TikTok famous body butter is clinically proven to visibly firm skin and provide 72 hours of continuous hydration. Formulated with high-performance ingredients like ceramides and Undaria seaweed, it transforms dry, crepey skin to smooth, soft, and supple. Osea's been crafting seaweed-infused products that are safe for your skin and the planet for close to 30 years. Everything they make is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Start your year fresh with clean vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.
At Arizona State University, we offer a wide variety of degree programs online to match all kinds of interests and career aspirations. Programs that are taught by the same notable faculty who teach on campus and designed using innovative technology to improve learning outcomes and equip you for post-graduation success. That's why 87% of ASU online graduates indicated they were promoted at work or received an increase in salary after earning their degree. Find your program at asuonline.asu.edu.